James chapter 10. We're going to read two verses, verse number 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart men believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Lord, we're thankful today, God, for your mercy, for your loving kindness, God. Lord, for your opportunity to come before you today, Lord, to open up the word of God that we can understand what you have to say to us, God. We ask you, Lord, to be with us today, God. Touch and anoint each and every one that is here. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today in our Bible study, we're going to pass out some scriptures here in a bit, but I want to talk about one word. If. If. Anybody have an idea what if means? The definition of if? Lots of scholars today. I might. Yeah. If. Depending on. Okay, we'll give you some definitions from the Word of God. Oh, Peggy. Oh, I thought you put your hand up. If. It's a tiny little word. Two letters is all it is. But it has large consequences in the now and in eternity. If means a condition, a requirement, a stipulation, or in case. Many of God's blessings and promises are qualified by that very important word, if. If my people will do this, 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 and this, God says, then I will do this, this, and this. And I got studying it. I quit after 7 because I found 17 different times when God said, if. He offered a blessing, he's offered healing, he's offered all these different things, but he stipulated, but if we are required to do something if we're going to get the blessing that God wants to give. So to take the word if lightly can lead to an unfortunate and sometimes serious consequences. It can lead to serious and sometimes or unfortunate and sometimes serious consequences. Our salvation is contingent upon that word if. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he preached the message of salvation to the world, basically told us in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, how did he put it? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The requirement for us to get something from God, to get the promise from God, was that I have to repent, I have to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of my sins, I need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, But I can only get the gift of the Holy Ghost if I follow God's plan. My part, repentance. The pastor's part, or the man of God's part, baptizing you in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and God's part, filling you with the Holy Ghost. But it all comes down to the word if. And that's why in Romans 10, 9 and 10, and pass out some scriptures here. Brother Mike, 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10. Brother Chris, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Sister Rose, Romans 11, 22. Brother Chad, Exodus 15, 26. Brother Holland, Matthew 8, 17. Sister Peaver, 1 Peter 2, 24. And Sister Peggy, 2 Corinthians 13, 5. We'll give the rest of you some scriptures after a bit here. So we go back to Romans, the scripture we started with, and we see that word, if. He said in verse 9, but if the requirement to get salvation is if. You have to do something to get something from God. It's free. God gives it free. But there's a requirement if we want to receive it. He said in verse 9 there, that if thou shalt confess. You've got to confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, 12, I believe. No other name. And so what he's saying here, Paul talking to the Roman church, he said, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe. Sometimes we think believe is, oh, I just accept Jesus Christ. To believe is to do everything that God has to say in the Word of God. And you'll see that as we get into some of the scriptures we're going to look at. If you'll believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We have to understand what salvation is all about and what God expects. A saving relationship with Jesus Christ doesn't just happen because you want it. You don't get salvation just by, oh, I want salvation. Our salvation is linked to the very important word, if. And you'll see that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 9 and 10. Okay. So what Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, godly sorrow is part of what God expects us to do in the plan of salvation. He said there in the verses, now rejoice not that ye were made sorry. You ever, you know, let's go back to our kids' days. And we got... Mom caught us with our hand in the cookie jar. Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. Sorry. We were sorry we got caught. And there's many times in our Christian walk, we'll find ourselves, I'm sorry, because somebody caught us doing something we shouldn't have done. going places we shouldn't have gone, doing things we shouldn't have done. It's easy to say, I'm sorry. But what he's saying, Paul is saying here, I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. Salvation is to the place when we get sorry enough that we repent of what we have been doing, where we were headed for, and say, God, I'm sorry, I repent. Please forgive me of all of my past, all of the things I've ever done, so that I can gain heaven, my home. Repentance is my part in the plan of salvation. And it's required that we repent. For ye we made sorry after a good manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Salvation comes when we understand exactly what God requires of us. So number two. So number one, if we do something, we shall be saved. Acts 2:38. We can go through all kinds of other scriptures, and you'll see as we get going into here how important it is. But if, then thou shalt be saved. The second one is, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 and 2. Okay, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel is the message of salvation, right? It's the good word of God. So he said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. There is an opportunity in our Christian walk to lose out on what God's got for us if we don't keep in memory the word of God and the message that God has preached to us through a man of God, through the word of God. It's up to us. If. That's why he said, if you keep in memory what I've preached to you. It all comes down to not what I believe, not what I want, not what I think, not what Brother Holland preaches, not what Pastor preaches. What does the word of God say? And so I've got to believe, by this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word that I preach to you. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Goodness and severity of God. The two opposites of God. The goodness of God, the severity of God. Goodness if thou continue in his goodness. Severity if you walk away from God. It all has to do with what do I do with what the word of God has to say. Look at that there. 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity. So we find three things here. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. Severity. But toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. There's three options that we find here in the Word of God. On them that fell, severity. To you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. And if you don't continue in his goodness, then you're going to be cut off. It all comes down to what you do and how you respond to what God's telling you. The Word of God is very plain. If you really look at the Word of God, God does not make it hard for us to understand what he expects out of us. But he gives us the option. If you will, God says, then I will. And that's the important part of the plan of salvation. You know, you can be sitting somewhere in the church and the preacher begins to preach and to talk about the Word of God and the love of God and all that God's got, and you're a sinner and you're lost and you don't know God. All of a sudden that Word of God begins to prick at our hearts, and it makes us want to do something about it. And all of a sudden that the conviction comes over us, and we say, oh God, I need you, God. And you begin to reach out to God, and maybe you'll stand up where you were and you make your way to an altar, raise your hands to God, and God, I'm sorry. The Word of God says, if I will repent, if I will be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, then God says, I will give you the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost on a Sunday morning service. I'd felt the Holy Ghost. I'd been many times in the presence of the Holy Ghost. But that day, something different happened. I decided that I'm going to do something about the situation. Tears flowing. Started towards the altar. Tears flowing, they were just running. Didn't even make it to the front of the church. Hands raised to God, began to speak in other tongues. Why? Because I decided I'm going to do something. He said, if you'll repent, if you'll be baptized, I will give you the Holy Ghost. So the goodness and severity of God, it's a choice whether we want the goodness or if we're going to face the severity of God. Our life, the way we live it, our actions determine the outcome. I make the choice. God doesn't look down from heaven and say, I like Brother Chris, so he's going to get it. I like Brother Holland, so he's going to get it. I'm going to give him all the blessings. And then he looks around and says, well, I don't know about that so-and-so. No, we make the choice. We decide our life, our actions, how we live it, determines whether we're going to receive salvation into our hearts. If we will hearken to the Word of God and do what God asks us to do, God will do for us. Number three, it has to do with Exodus chapter 15, verse number 26. if thou wilt diligently hearken, I will heal you. Verse 26, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. We find four things. If we will do things, then God says, then I will do things. Comes down to the question, that little word, if. If I will diligently hearken, and I will do, and I will give, and keep, then God says, I will put none of these things upon you, for I am the Lord thy God. We need to examine ourselves in our walk with God. Are we following what God requires out of us? Because it comes down to that word, if I do what God says this is the reward. But he also says, if you don't do this, this is the reward. You're going to get cut off. The choice is mine. It's yours. Matthew 8:17. Okay. The fulfillment of the word of God from the prophecy of the Old Testament came by the things if we'll do what God requires, he'll give us. 1 Peter 2:24. The word of God, and there's so many scriptures that we could go to that talks about this subject, but it comes right down to it. It's what do we do with what God's telling us to do? Who his own self bare our sins. Talking about Jesus Christ, he bore our sins. So every one of us, every sin we ever committed, every sin that we could have thought of, he bore it. He took it upon himself. And he says, in his own body on the tree. What tree? On Calvary. He took our sins, nailed them to the cross of Calvary, to forgive us, so we could have forgiveness of sins. But there's a requirement. Being dead to sins, that we should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Healing comes when we follow God's plan and do what God requires out of us. If, comes down to if we're willing. If we're willing to do what God tells us to do. In 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine your own selves. If thou wilt diligently hearken, Who are we hearkening under? Who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to God and the voice of God through the messenger of God, through the teachers, through the preachers, through the evangelists? Or are we going to listen to the devil that comes along and says, "Oh, thou shalt not surely die if ye eat of that tree"? The choice is mine. Do I listen to God and his voices, or do I listen to the opposite voice? The choice is mine. The choice is yours. What are you going to do with the Word of God? If it is so important, because we can have healing if we hearken unto God and the things of God. The principles applied, these principles that we're talking about, can be applied to all aspects of our Christian walk. All aspects. If. And, Charles, you got your Bible? No? Okay. Sister Wilson, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Brother Chris, Luke 11, 25 through 28. Brother Mike, 2 Chronicles 15:2. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and will pray and will seek, then he said, I'll do something. 2 Chronicles 7:14. These are very simple, plain words from the King Solomon to the people of Israel. And we find four things that he talks about. We got to humble ourselves. We have to pray. We have to seek God. And we have to turn from iniquity. And he says, if we will do these things, then God says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal all their land. God requires four things out of us. And then he says, okay, if you do that, I'm going to give you back three things. And the thing I notice about God always gives back good things. God never gives bad things. If we do what he says, he just wanted loads of benefits upon us. He just wanted to give us good things. What greater thing can we have than receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost? There's no other gift given among men whereby we can have peace and joy and happiness in this world, other than through the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he wants to give it to us. It's his pleasure to give it to us. But it comes down to the question, can we believe God? Can you trust God to do what he says if you do what he tells us to do? I want to say this, God cannot lie. If God said it, God will do it. That's why you can read the Word of God and he promises a lot of things that are going to happen. You can trust God that everything that he puts in the Word of God is going to happen. Because God doesn't lie. God can and will do if we do. That little word, if. If I will repent. If I will get baptized, God will give the Holy Ghost. If I'll pray to God, God will hear and God will answer. If I seek God, if I give myself to God, God will hear, God will answer. It all has to do with what I do. We're living in a land with COVID-19, widespread protests, racial riots, violence, looting. We look at it and say, you know, God, can God heal the land today? God can. If his people will do what he said. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is for this day in which we're living in. If my people, which are called by my name, will. Are you willing to do what God asks you to do? He asks you to pray. He asks you to seek his face. He asks you to turn from your wicked ways. He's asking you to reach out to him. And in turn, he says, if you'll do that, then I will do this for you. Luke chapter 10, 25 through 28. Okay, we find Jesus talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan, and in doing this, there's a lawyer stands up, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. He was wanting to tempt Jesus. He says, Master, what shall I do to inherit life, eternal life? Pretty good question to ask if you were asking it in the right way. If you were to, God, what am I going to do? I want to be saved. I want to live for you, God. I want to serve you, God. What do I have to do? He wasn't asking it that way. He was asking it to tempt Jesus to see what he might say. But Jesus didn't answer him the way he wanted him to answer him. So he said unto him, what is written in the law, how readest thou? So he looks right back at that young lawyer and said, I'll tell you what. What does the law say that you ought to do? And he answered and said, you know what? Well, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Oh, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow, wasn't really what the lawyer was trying to get Jesus to say. But see, Jesus put it back on him. What does the book say? I can give you what you have to do. Jesus could have said, you need to repent of your sins, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, you need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. Jesus put it back to the Word of God. What are you going to do with the Word? And when he had finished saying it, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. So the requirement comes down to five things that we have to do. We have to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, mind, and our neighbor as ourself, then the Bible says that we'll do that. He says, do this and thou shalt live. Our opportunity in living for God comes down to how I answer God and what I do with what God says. If I hearken to the word of God, if I obey the word of God, if I respond to God the right way, if, comes down to that one word, if, Second Chronicles 15 and 2, okay. If. That big word. So many times in the Word of God. So, the Spirit of God comes upon the man of God, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah, and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Again, comes right down to how are we going to respond to the word of God? When God comes talking to us, and there isn't any one of us that when we pick up the Word of God and begin to read the Word of God, that God doesn't start to talk to us. Because it's His Word. And when you read God's Word, God wants to talk to you. You can read a scripture you've never read before, and all of a sudden something will pop out at you. How does that happen? Because it's God. God in you. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so when you open up the Word of God and begin to read the Word of God, God begins to talk. And he's talking to a man. And he says, I want to tell you. Number one, God is with you. And I'll say this, God's with every one of us in here. God is with you today. Then he says, while you're with him, if you walk away from God and the things of God, God walks away from you, really. What it's saying. You need to keep yourself with God. In the church. Serving God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And thy neighbor as thyself. You've got to come to that place when you realize God is the most important thing in my life. There's nothing more important than serving God. There's no job, no pleasures. There's nothing that's more important than serving God. And the Spirit of God came upon the man of God. And he said, I want to let you know God's with you if ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Comes down to pretty simple language. If. The choice is yours. God says this. What are you going to do with what he says? He says, I'm with you. I love you. I want you to serve me. If you do it, he said, then I'll be with you. And if you don't, I'll forsake you. I'll walk away. God doesn't want to be with somebody that doesn't want to be with God. Really what it comes down to. If you don't want God, God will step back in the picture and say, okay, I'll step back. When you get to that place, when there's a heartfelt thing that happens in your life, and you begin to cry out, he says, I'll be back. But the choice is yours. What are you going to do with God? It's up to you. It's your choice. James chapter 4 and 8. I don't think I give it today. Brother Chad, you want to find that one? Did I give somebody John 8? Maybe I didn't. Okay, John 8, 31 and 32, Sister Peggy. Brother Holland, Psalms 91. And then Sister Rose, you want to find John chapter 10, 27 through 29. So this is a very simple truth that will result in a profound blessing if we'll do what God asks us. He will do what he says he will do. James 4 and 8. Isn't it pretty simple what he says? If you will draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to thee. So simple, yet so profound. People, they look at it and say, oh, it's so hard to serve God. No, it's not. If you'll draw nigh to God, God says, I'll draw nigh to you. That one little word, though, makes the difference. If you will do this, then he says, I will do this. You draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. John 8, 31 and 32. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Oh, Jesus had 12 disciples back there, and you know, that's back there. No, in the New Testament, Jesus is saying, if you'll continue in my word, you're my disciples. What's a disciple? A follower. Are you following God? You're his disciple. You're his child. You're living for him. Real freedom has nothing to do with a self-centered pursuit of gratifying the flesh. Real freedom has nothing to do with that self-centered pursuit of gratifying this flesh. That's not freedom. True liberty comes from the new birth experience and the presence of the Holy Ghost in our lives, enabling us to conquer our carnal flesh. The life we live is not in the flesh. So Paul says, you're not living in the flesh. If you're living in the flesh, you're not living for God. Our pursuit and our goal in life is to live for Jesus Christ. If you will continue in my word, then are you my disciples. And what does it say that next verse said? And the truth shall make you free. We are set free from the guilt of our sins. We are set free from the guilt of our sins when we start the lifelong process of God liberating us from the grips of sin on our life. And we are set free by the truth. Truth will set us free. Choice is ours. Psalms 91, 9 through 11. Okay, and in the Living New Translation, it says it this way. If you will make the Lord your refuge, if you will make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. That's the God we serve. That's the God that wants to be part of our life. That's the God that wants to bless us as we journey through this life. True safety and security comes in the name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't come in me knowing what needs to be done. It comes in knowing Him and who He is. He says that if you will make the Lord your refuge and your shelter, then God says, I'm going to do 11 things for you. He lists out 11 things that he said he will do for you if you will make the Lord your refuge and your shelter. Number one, and this is verses 9, 10, 11, and in 14, 15, and 16 of that chapter. He says, number one, there shall no evil befall thee. Oh, well, God, you made a mistake right there. Things have gone wrong in my life, so that's you. No. The things that he allows to happen to us is for our benefit. It's for our help. He doesn't say that we're not going to face problems. He does say that he will not let it take us down. He says he'll let no temptation come upon you that you are not able to bear. Sometimes we get it, oh Lord, I'm sick. You don't love me anymore, God, because you said by your stripes we are healed. So God, you're a liar. No, God's not a liar. He allows things to happen to us, but he'll never take us down and be that allow something to destroy us. He will allow things to happen. Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. And he's talking in the Old Testament, and there's times when Israel, you take the, when they came up out of Egypt, there were a lot of plagues. But God come to that point when he didn't allow them to come upon his people. And there comes a point in our life with God and living for God that God won't allow some things to come upon us. He'll protect us. Why? Because he loves us. You know, we could look at that and say, well, Brother Hernandez got COVID-19 and died. So God, why God, why did you allow it? You said you'll neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. I don't know. I'm not going to give you an answer that says, I know what God was thinking. I don't know what God was thinking, but I knew God know that it was in God's will. It was God's will. Because nothing's going to come my way that God doesn't allow. He shall give his angels charge over thee. Well, how many times, if we're honest with ourselves, that we got ourselves in a situation that we're sure glad that God was there to help us out of it. To keep thee in all thy ways. I look at what's going on in the world today. I'm so glad that I know him. When I look at all the chaos and all the anger and the violence and the things that are happening in the world, and not only that, all the natural disasters that are happening around the world. But God says, I'll keep you in all your ways. I'll be there with you. How can we be assured that God is going to be with us through everything? Because it's Christ in you. If you got the Holy Ghost, it's Christ in you already. No matter where you go knock on a door somewhere. God's standing there right with you. Oh, well, I'm all by myself. I don't know what to say. Open your mouth and let God say it. He'll speak it. Number five, he says, therefore will I deliver him. God's going to deliver you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Standing before the king. I'm going to give you one more chance. And if you don't, that fiery furnace is heated 7 times hotter than it's ever been. And you're going in there if you don't. King, we're not careful to answer thee. My God can and will deliver me out of your hands. Whether I die in the fiery furnace or not, God's going to deliver me out of your hands. Well, God, I'm so glad he'll deliver us. No matter what we're going to face, according to the Word of God, there's some terrible things that are going to happen in the world in the next little while. But God will deliver you. Number six, I will set him on high. It might not be today or tomorrow, but one day I'm going to be set on high with him. Because when the trumpet sounds, that Holy Ghost within is going to quicken me. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm going on high one day. It might not be in this world, but it's going to be in the world to come. Why? Because why are we going to set on high? Why did he say that? Is because we have known his name. If I know who he is, I'll be named with him. Jesus Christ is the answer to the world today. Number eight, he says, I will answer him. God will always answer. If you got a question, if you got a concern from God, if you don't know quite what to do, ask God and he will give you the answer. I will be with him in the time of trouble. You ever felt like that? That you were in time of trouble? God's there with you. Look at Paul. He was on the way to Rome to answer. To give an answer for his life and that. He got into trouble along the way. They got in a storm that they gave up all hope to live. Then they get off the boat and they get into onto the land and they make a fire, and he's there building up sticks and putting them on the fire, and that serpent comes up out of the wood, bites him. All the locals, they look at it and say, oh man, he was a sinner. He survived the boat, coming off the boat in the sea, but he still died. He's going to die. But what did Paul do? He just shook the serpent off and went right on living for God. That's the way we have to live. We just got to shake off all the problems that come our way. Shake off all the trials that we face. Shake off all the distractions that come along and just keep on serving God. Don't look to the left nor to the right. Just look up. Keep your eyes on the goal. Number 10, he says, I'll deliver him and honor him. The greatest honor you're ever going to receive is going to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The greatest honor you could ever receive. People say that the greatest honor they've ever had was they got to go stand before the queen and the queen knighted them. Or the queen did this. Or they got to go stand before the Prime Minister of Canada and they gave him this recognition. Well, you can receive those kind of things. I want to receive the greatest honor I ever can receive. The words from Jesus Christ himself. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I did what God said. God said, do this. And if you do this, this is what I'm going to do. And then the last thing he says, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Comes right down to it. The main thing that God will do is show you what salvation really means. When we commit ourselves to God and allow him to be our everything, things work out so much greater. Our last scripture, John chapter 10, 27 through 29. Think about what Jesus is saying to the church. My sheep hear my voice. Are you hearing God's voice today? Are you hearing what God's trying to tell you? He says, and I know them, and they follow me. The sheep, God's sheep, his children, hear his voice. He knows us, and we follow him. Comes down to, if I hear his voice, if I hear his voice, Jesus said, I'll know them, and they'll follow me. I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. No man. All comes down to if I do this, then God says, I will do this. The choice is ours. What are we going to do with what God has for us? That one little word, IF. If my people, if my children, if they'll do this, he said, I'll do this. he has got some great rewards in store for his people. It's up to us to do what he asks us to do. Let's stand. Lord, we're so thankful, God, for your mercy, for your loving kindness, God. Lord, and we desire, oh God, to live for you, Jesus. Lord, to follow you, to do what you desire out of us, oh God. Lord, keep your hand upon us, God. Give us, oh God, that peace and joy and happiness, God, that only can be found in you, Jesus. Lord, we desire to do the things you say, God, because we know that if we will follow you, Jesus, if we will surrender our life to you, if we will give you everything, God, that, Lord, you give back so much more. We ask you, Lord, to bless your word. Lord, go with us, God. You are the answer to this world today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I will give you all.
I will give you.